current affairs.
This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on reforms for strengthening India's business ecosystem. The participants are Dr. Ranjit Mehta and Anil Padmanabhan, economic analysts. The moderator is Anubha Rohatogi.
Dr. Ranjit Mehta, Mr. Anil Padmanabhan, welcome to Akashvani's Current Affairs program. First question is to both of you. India has been steadily becoming a favorite destination for investments and doing business over the past few years. According to government data, there has been an approximate 27% increase in the number of active registered companies in just 5 years, from 1.55 lakh in 2020-21 to 1.98 lakhs as on 3rd February 2026. How do you see this growth in the business ecosystem? Dr. Mehta.
Thank you very much indeed. If you just talk of the reforms, especially under the leadership of Prime Minister Modi, last 10 years mark a very decisive shift in India's policy landscape. And basically, the country has moved from incremental change to bold structural reform that have strengthened the governance and accelerated the economic growth. And it has laid the foundation stone for Viksit Bharat. And if you just look at not only the increment in the number of companies that have really come in India, the overall business ecosystem in the country has really improved. If you talk of reforms, why this has happened? Number one, you just look at ease of doing business.
Right.
In 2013, India was 136 out of 190 countries. And by the time we were in 2018, we were 63. In ease of doing business and World Bank ranking. Now, the biggest reforms, what we can call it GST.
Right.
GST that has made one nation and one tax.
Right. And yes, Dr. Mehta, we will definitely talk about GST a little later in the program. But Mr. Padmanabhan, I want to ask you the same question. How do you see this growth in the business ecosystem, as Dr. Mehta was also saying, that from 2013, to come up in the rankings of ease of doing business?
See, the thing is that the very nature of reforms, what does it do? It breaks down obstacles to do business in this country. And India's legacy of creating hurdles for doing business is enormous.
Right.
The best described by the License Raj.
Right.
So, which was only dismantled as late as 1991. And vestiges of it have survived for many, many years. And now there is a determined effort under the ease of doing business to unpack it. So if you look at this, that as you reduce barriers to entry, barriers to growing, access to credit, what it has done, and of course, large degree policy nudges from the government, created a perfect environment for startups. Because the entry barriers are low and the cost of setting a startup is much lower compared to regular manufacturing enterprise, you are also seeing the reasons for this surge in the numbers of registrations that you flagged. So, a bunch of things, but at the core of it is that the biggest deliverable is that reforms works, and reforms is very important, and which is exactly why the PM has now coined this phrase called the Reform Express.
Right.
And the legacy of that, his government, to his credit, has been talking about reforms, probably the first one in modern India, which is so overt and honest about the need for reforms, whereas previous regimes was reforms by stealth, because the political environment was not conducive. So, but beginning from August 15th, last year, the Independence Day address, he said that my government is going to pursue reforms with unprecedented zeal and determination. Most of us didn't believe it was possible given the political climate, but to the government's credit, they have not held back. We have seen a series of reforms, one of them GST 2.0 that you mentioned, and several others, and it's not ending. It seems to be continuing every day.
Right. Dr. Mehta, as Mr. Padmanabhan just talked about, Reforms Express and the reforms that have happened in the last few years. So my next question to you is, what major reforms and initiatives have had the most significant impact on improving the ease of doing business in India in the last decade or so?
I think as I was discussing, the first reform which has really totally changed the business landscape is the GST, which has really brought a tectonic shift in India's policy landscape. If you just see, with GST, with a single, where around so many taxes were subsumed in one, In that case, the whole India has become one market. So what this has done is this has strengthened the supply chain, and the time taken for transportation has reduced. It has brought down the logistic costs in the country. At the same time, I think it has also brought down the cost of doing business. Second, we were talking about the company's surge in the registration of the company. So for this, I think when Startup India was launched in 2016, we had around 400 registered startups in our country. And today, with the kind of reforms the government has undertaken, we have more than 150,000 registered startups in our country and 115 unicorns. And we are the third largest startup ecosystem in the world. And second, I think that the very important reform was IBC. Now, in what IBC has done is, earlier on, it was very difficult to shut down a company, to wind up a company. But now, the creditors' money was also held up. But today, I think with IBC, it has made very...
Dr. Mehta, for the benefit of our listeners, let me tell them that IBC is the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code.
That's right.
Please continue.
Absolutely. So, with this, what has happened is the creditors, they can take their money. At the same time, it has also reduced the NPAs, and the kind of financial system we have got is now foreign investors, they have confidence. You know, what you have a strong financial system, then foreign investors, they will come very easily. Third very important thing, I think what India has taken a leapfrog is a digital public infrastructure. In this, we have like Jan Dhan Yojana that has really changed. Around 500 million Jan Dhan accounts were opened in and direct benefit transfer and Aadhaar. I think these three things has really made tremendous difference and empowered the people at the bottom of the pyramid. And you know, UPI, we talk of Aadhaar, UPI, and third is Aadhaar, UPI and Jan Dhan Yojana. All these things have these three pillars of digital public infrastructure. And you have seen that when Digital India was launched in 2015, I think most of people, they were ridiculing Digital India, because that time people were thinking that we don't have the, you know, digital public infrastructure. But I think that if you really, it was much ahead of the time, and we saw the impact of this during the COVID. When COVID or even G20 time, we saw world leaders coming to India and paying for chai or paying for small things through UPI. And today UPI has been adopted by many countries. And it is being one of the, you know, greatest example in the world, and how other countries are also adopting this UPI system. I think that another, you know, when investors come, they want to really see that their legal system is good and their money is safe for that IBC code. Then the IPR, Intellectual Property Rights, and the Arbitration Act, they were totally transformed. So today, I think that most of the investors, when they come, the companies they do business in India, they know that our judicial system is very strong. We are the largest democracy in the world. At the same time, we have a very, very stable government.
Mr. Padmanabhan, my next question is to you. You know, like Dr. Mehta just told us about the some of the reforms and initiatives that had an impact on improving the ease of doing business in India. But I come to the Union Budget 2026-27. How has the present budget taken forward the process of regulatory reforms? Can you take us through some specific measures announced by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman this year?
I can do that, no doubt. But, you know, Anubha, the bigger thing here is that the reforms experience is not from one single document like the Union Budget. In this Union Budget, the central takeaway from the perspective of reforms was the promise to come with the Jan Vishwas Bill 3.2 and continue with the process and to work with state governments to translate all that they have done. Of course, we can't forget the labor codes that they shrunk, and now states have begun to roll them out with their own additional reforms. Some states have even allowed women, Andhra, I think, has just opened it up for women to do even night shifts. So, you know, those kind of states, what the center has done is create a larger national template and allow states to follow. But if you look at it, it's not just the budget. So, I'm talking of when India was a 400 billion economy at the turn of the millennium. There was to be a very, you know, standard economic calendar to the year. You had the busy season, so-called busy season credit policy, where the Reserve Bank of India would come up with something around September after the monsoons. And there was a lean season credit policy when, you know, ahead of the monsoon, at April. Now, there is a credit policy which comes out every, you know, bi-monthly.
Yes.
Plus, there are exceptional circumstances, they can undertake a special credit policy. So, the monetary policy in this country is 24/7. Similarly, economic policy has also progressed to 24/7.
Right.
So, it would be a mistake to think that one single document is the single source. So, I would say that, you know, extend that argument. Let's look at something which seemingly is unrelated, the free trade agreements.
Right.
So, you know, now if we have read this year's economic survey, it's I think it should be made a compulsory reading for everyone in this country.
Right.
Because you understand the economic ideology of this government. So, I'll just cite one because of the voluminous document. They argued that India should move to an entrepreneurial state. So, the biggest example of the entrepreneurial state was just signaled 2 days ago when the Canadian Prime Minister was here, and India has inked a deal to produce these nuclear reactors, these compact ones, which are unlike the 3000 megawatt, this can be 5 megawatt to 600 megawatt, so they're low cost.
Yes.
And Canada is one of the leading players in this. So here is a state which has first opened up its own space sector, nuclear sector to private sector, and now engaging in a collaboration with government, another government, to create the facility for this. So similarly, free trade agreements, what it does, it forces discipline on companies like Mr. Mehta represents, you know, and forcing them to buy. What have we done? We have inked 8 free trade agreements, all with developed nations. 9th one is pending with the United States, and a 10th one is likely with Canada, a comprehensive economic, which means 70 to 80% of India's trade has been covered. So what it has done, it has ring-fenced India's trade, taken away the kind of volatility that was there, given stability, so created an ecosystem for Indian industry to invest looking forward. So this whole notion of reforms is to create a stable environment for Indian business to not only invest, but also innovate. The innovate is what we are seeing in startups, deep tech, etc.
Dr. Mehta, MSMEs are often called the backbone of India's economy. How are measures such as the credit guarantee schemes and digital credit assessment model helping this sector in growing and competing globally?
You see, all over the world, we have seen that whenever any advanced economy, take example of Japan or Germany, they all have very strong micro and small medium enterprises. SMEs are very, very strong.
Yes.
In India, we have around 80 million MSMEs, around 8 crore MSMEs in India. And they contribute very significantly to the exports and the manufacturing
sector. Yes, absolutely.
So now, you know, it has been an endeavor of the government to focus on these MSMEs. And credit guarantee scheme is one such scheme, because the biggest challenge the MSMEs have is, number one, to get a finance.
Right.
And that too easily, and that too in a very cheaper rate. So I think schemes like one is credit card facility. Government has decided to give, and in the last budget only, we have seen that, 5 lakh rupee credit card to MSME, 10 lakh MSMEs. That means if you have the credit card, in that case, they can use it anytime and pay at their own pace. So one is this, it is for micro enterprises. Then credit guarantee. Secondly, when MSMEs goes for a loan to the bank, normally they don't have the collateral.
Yes.
So in that case, government has come out with a very good scheme, which is now up to 20 crore collateral free loan. And this is a very, very important scheme. I think here, probably if we just look at it, maybe the implementation part can be looked into, because sometimes some of the banks, they insist on the collateral still despite having the credit guarantee scheme. I think what we have suggested it in this case, we can have a sort of a helpline for the MSMEs, entrepreneurs who go to the bank. If they face any challenge in implementing the scheme, maybe there can be some helpline that will really help each and everyone. Because MSMEs are all over the country. Suppose MSME in a district level, MSME in a block level. So when they go approach the bank, then sometimes these schemes are not very much, you know, people are not aware of it. I think another thing is, like, there are so many other provisions that the government has made for MSMEs. The biggest challenge is finance. That has been taken care of.
Right.
So there are many kind of loans through Stand Up India's, you know, all those kind of loans are there. And 50,000 crore fund of fund is there.
Yes.
Where even government invest in any MSME who is coming out with the IPO. They invest there also, some good IPOs. And then credit guarantee scheme is there. Credit card facility is there. And then another is technological support. apart from finance, they don't have the technology. Now today, a government has many technology centers where they can go use the technology center and have the business efficiency in their processes. And yes. For MSMEs, third biggest challenge is the market access. For market access, government has schemes, the portal like GEM. GEM portal is there for Government of India, where around 20% is to be purchased. PSUs, you know, they have to purchase from MSMEs. And if it is a woman, then 5% more. So all these schemes are really good. So they have taken care of finance, they have taken care of technology, they have taken care of market access. Now, with the FTA, what we were discussing right now, Mr. Padmanabhan also told, like one of the biggest challenge that we were having is the market access. For market access, we have done FTA with EU, we have done with UK, we have done in New Zealand, we have done in US, UAE, all these are there. Total 38 FTAs have been done by government. More than half of the world is covered in this. So now you can imagine, now in this, I think that, now MSMEs, they require handholding. And government has got now export promotion mission for MSMEs. Then in that case, they give financial assistance for taking part in different exhibitions all over the world.
Right.
So the word has to go from the government. I mean, there's some awareness is needed. Because today, maybe MSME in metro cities like Delhi, Mumbai or Bangalore, Chennai, all these cities, they are quite aware of the thing. But if you just look at the tier 2, tier 3 cities, tier 4 cities, in that case, I think that we need to make it very, very, popular, all these schemes. And especially Ministry of MSME, they have got so many schemes where an MSME, apart from the export promotion scheme, they have different schemes from Ministry of MSME. They can take part in any delegation. They can take part in any exhibition. They have to just apply through the portal. So all these facilities have been there for MSMEs, and it is the number one priority of Government of India. They are supporting the MSMEs. And whenever there is any challenge, any issue, we bring up to the government for MSMEs. They are very, very proactive on this. RBI is very, very proactive. I think that most of the problems what MSMEs, whenever they bring it out to the notice of the government, they are definitely taken care of. I think that is why now, like the MSMEs contribution is slowly but gradually increasing. And until unless we bring more MSMEs to the manufacturing sector, and now India cannot really become the Viksit Bharat. So it is very important. In service sector, of course, we have made a significant progress. Yes. Around 54% comes from the service sector today.
Yes.
Even so, now point is this, we have to keep doing it, and there should not be any reforms fatigue, and it has to be reforms express always,
right.
Which in this government, it is quite a big push, and the kind of infrastructure push the government has given. Because ultimately, when there's an infrastructure push,
right.
Gati Shakti Mission, all these are very, very important. Why? Because they are not only helping the MSMEs, they are helping each and everyone. The whole business ecosystem improves after these kind of schemes. Just look at the things in 2014. What is the outlay for infrastructure? Just around 2 lakh crore. But today it is 12.2 lakh crore.
Right.
That is the kind of big push the infrastructure has been given in this government. Because when the economy grows, when we aspire to become Viksit Bharat, we should have the world-class infrastructure.
Right.
And the multimodal transport system, the government, which they are creating by multimodal transport system, where they are doing from waterways, from road, from ports, from, rail. All these things are being taken care of. We have seen the example of Bharat Mala, Sagar Mala projects, how they are connecting the India. Now, we had a logistic cost of around 13% to 14% a few years ago. Other day, we were having an interaction where IIT Delhi had done some research.
Mm-hmm.
They found out that India's logistic cost has come down to around 9%.
Right.
So all these things are possible because of the infrastructure.
Right. Now, one of the constraints that the MSMEs have been facing is in the field of compliance. So the government has introduced a series of measures aimed at rationalizing penalties, decriminalization of minor defaults, and simplifying assessment and prosecution frameworks. It has introduced trust-based systems such as the Deferred Duty Payment, the Jan Vishwas Act that Dr. Mehta was talking about, and in fact, even the IBC. So how have these measures made the tax system more transparent and business-friendly, especially for, MSMEs?
The direct tax system has been cleaned up very dramatically in the last, say, 5 years. The FM had first cleaned up the corporate tax side in 2019, right. And she did the income tax cleanup in the last budget, not this one, in 25-26. And what they have done is they have basically introduced faceless form of, you know, assessment,
yes,
which is computer generated, random. So in the sense that they have precluded manual intervention, so which opens up the door for harassment of people. Now, they have done that in GST too, but in GST, we are seeing that it's not foolproof because there is harassment of personnel and companies. Now, the FM had promised that she would introduce this in customs too. And to her credit, in this budget, she did make some moves, but she has not, you know, walked the last mile on the similar job for customs. So in customs too, you will have to eventually get a similar system like you got in direct tax,
right,
side. So all of this pulled together will contribute to ease of doing business. So only the bottom line of all of this that both of us have discussed so far is that the government has cleaned up the system, what we call improved the plumbing in the economy dramatically. Now, the onus is on industry, whether it is MSME or large scale,
yeah,
or whoever. And as of now, their risk appetite is missing. And this is not something new. It's been missing since 2008,
yeah,
onwards. So I hope that with this cleanup, India Inc. starts delivering or walking the talk.
Mr. Padmanabhan, an improved business ecosystem in India translates into investments flowing into the states. Because ultimately, whether it's foreign companies, or, you know, whether it's our own big conglomerates who want to invest, the investment actually happens on ground in the states, right? So can you talk to us about some state-led reforms or innovations which have been tailored to their specific administrative and economic contexts?
Anupai, we just mentioned the labor reforms,
yeah,
where they shrunk 29 labor codes into four.
Four.
And they basically, the union government created the template and allowed states to adapt it in whichever way they want. So I gave the example of Andhra Pradesh. Several states have rolled out, I forget the exact number, labor reforms. Over and above this, you have frontline states like Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra, who are industrially developed,
yes,
and Gujarat, who have been moving ahead on their own trajectory. But what is heartening for all of us is that the general so-called, it is used to be used as a pejorative, Bimaru states.
Right, no? Yes.
So Uttar Pradesh was one of the Bimaru states. And what it has done, in fact, I just saw a news item a fortnight ago, which listed all the investments in beer. They want to recreate Uttar Pradesh as the beer capital of the country.
Okay.
You cannot create this unless you provide law and order,
right,
provide basic reforms. And they just presented their budget, which reiterates support to all that I said. Rajasthan government has just presented its budget about again a fortnight ago, which heavy accent on ease of doing business.
Right.
They, in fact, all of these states, to their credit, are exhibiting a boldness which I have not seen. I've been an economic journalist for 40 years. They are all now talking about becoming trillion-dollar economies on their own. So Rajasthan has made that the central focus of his budget speech, the finance minister just presented. And this reform that you're talking about, moving to the states, is happening. And like you said, if it does not happen, India will not grow.
Dr. Mehta, how do you view the coordination between the center and the state governments to create a more business-friendly environment? Like Mr. Padmanabhan just said, that the states are not talking about, you know, becoming a trillion-dollar economy on their own. And of course, the center is there to provide them guidance to start initiatives and to take measures, to introduce new measures. But there's then always that coordination has to be there between the center and the state. So how do you see that?
So first of all, it's heartening to see the competitive federalism in states. Today, I think most of the states, they know that until unless they do the ease of doing business, until unless they really implement those reforms in their states, they really cannot get the investment.
Right.
And today's politics has also changed to a great extent that people want a development. For that, they have to bring the investment. To bring the investment, they have to create the ease of doing business. They have to create an ecosystem where the investor, you know, finds his money to be safe. They need a good law and order situation in the state. Now, in this, I think there are a few things. Number one, the cost of land.
Mm.
I think land is a state subject. Power is a state,
yes,
subject. These two things are so important. Third is, of course, law and order situation. Now, cost of land has really gone up. Mm-hmm. If you just look at in anywhere in the country, in good places, I think even for if MSME wants to start a business, he wants to take a piece of land. Number one, it is very difficult to get a piece of land. Secondly, the cost of land is very high. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to do something about it. Government needs to create those industrial clusters where plug and play system needs to be incorporated, where MSME can go and start their production from the day one. And secondly, a power. So to get the power, most of the states, they have, of course, done very easy now. They have made it simple. Third is clearances, like labor, of course, has been taken care of. 4 labor codes, they have made it very simple now. When we just look at these things, especially the cost of land and the power system and the law and order, then in that case, I think the investors will easily go there and they would like to invest. At the same time, most of the state government, they have the invest, say UP Invest or for that Assam Invest, all those kinds of things are there. And you must have seen off late that most of the state government, they are directly organizing those investment or the economic conclaves.
Yes.
Where they invite the industrialists from all over the country, not only from all over the country, but from all over the world.
Yes.
So this is the endeavor. With the industry, by engaging with the private investors directly, I think that they are trying to bring those investment, and there has been a very good competition, very healthy competition. Mm-hmm. Today, I mean, the politics has really moved from here to, of course, to, you know, creating employment. Now, every chief minister wants that his people should get jobs.
Right.
So, and they should not be migrating to cities. I think that this is very, very important. I think here at the state's role is very important, and center can only make the policy, but ultimately the implementation part is to be looked after by the state. So state has to be very, very proactive in this.
Right. Mr. Padmanabhan, in your view, what structural challenges still hinder businesses from operating efficiently in India?
I think there are two levels that we should look at this, the union government and the state government. The union government has more or less, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, it must be around 6, 7. The states, if you take them all together, they are about 3, 4. So, but individually, some states are operating at a scale of 8 or 9 out of 10. So, it's difficult to generalize, but yes, there are still huge impediments, and including like a new thing like GST that they've introduced. The whole idea was that it would be hands-free and it would, you know, it's automated.
One nation, one tax.
Exactly. I mean, economically unified this country for the first time. All that is there, but operationally, we're seeing a lot of hiccups, and the finance minister herself has acknowledged this. So I would say, to be charitable to them, that it is a work in progress. Most important, the intent. The intent was huge. It was required. That this government has exhibited in full scale, and it's implementing too. And like I said, it's probably the first government in modern India which has overtly supported economic reforms.
Dr. Mehta, over the next decade, what key reforms will be most critical for strengthening India's business ecosystem?
You see, the reforms is a journey, in fact. It has to keep going. And with the time, I think the reforms will also change. What kind of reforms that we need, seeing the challenges of that time, contemporary times. So today, I think we cannot just say, but fundamentally, if you look at in the last 10 years, most of the structural reforms have been done. But this is an ongoing journey. We'll have to look at the time. We'll have to keep seeing the things. I think with that, now new FTAs with 38 countries, we have done FTA. Now the world is getting more and more globalized. Mm-hmm. And we have seen that there was a tariff war. Mm-hmm. The tariff have been weaponized. So in this case, I think that we have to see. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has given a clarion call for Atmanirbhar Bharat.
Yes.
So when we talk about Atmanirbharta, in that case, I think we have to make sure that the reform, even in our within the ecosystem, whether it is a financial reforms or it is a regulatory reforms or it is a policy change, all these things will be there along with the time. And I think that the government is very, very proactive, and we can see that they don't have the reform fatigue. And if this keeps going, India will definitely be Viksit Bharat by 2047.
Yes. Mr. Padmanabhan, Dr. Mehta, thank you so much for joining us
in
Akashvani's Current Affairs program.
You were listening to a discussion on reforms for strengthening India's business ecosystem. The participants were Dr. Ranjit Mehta and Anil Padmanabhan, economic analysts. The moderator was Anubha Rohatogi. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division.
Current Affairs.